Let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We believe
in the hidden God of love, the spirit of love and compassion found at the breadth and depth of every human life. We believe in Jesus, the reigning of God on earth, found where people and societies are governed by the rule of love. We believe in the way of Jesus, a love for God and neighbor, a love for stranger and enemy, a love for outcast and alien. We believe in the abundant life of Jesus, a life of acceptance, inclusion, and forgiveness, a life of equality, generosity, and sharing, a life of compassion, service, and nonviolence. We believe that Jesus modeled the godly life, healing the sick and serving the poor, seeking dignity and equality for all people, and calling for shared wealth and economic justice. For this he was condemned and crucified by those who serve the forces of domination in every time and place. We believe that though he died, his spirit lives on and calls us to strive for peace and justice, to work for a better world.
In the name of Jesus and in the name of love, we commit ourselves to care for others, to break down the barriers that separate us, and to seek justice and peace in the world. Amen.
Please be seated. On this fourth Sunday of the season of Easter, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we share three readings from Scripture referring to Jesus the Good Shepherd. The first is probably the most familiar piece of Scripture in the entire Bible, the 23rd Psalm. And I share it with you this morning from The Message, just for a little different take on that. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. And from the third chapter of 1 John, this pastoral letter, verses 16 through 24. Listen closely to these words written to the church. This is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. But if a person has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, and that person doesn't care, how can the love of God remain in him? Little children, let's not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts in God's presence. Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence in relationship to God. We receive whatever we ask from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love each other as He commanded us. The person who keeps His commandments remains in God, and God remains in him. And this is how we know that He remains in us, because of the Spirit that He has given to us. And from the Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18. Pay close attention to these words that Jesus speaks. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep aren't really his. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He's only a hired hand, and the sheep don't matter to him. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I give up my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that don't belong to this sheep pen. I must lead them too. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me. I give up my life so that I can take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I give it up because I want to. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it up again. I received this commandment from my Father. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. In some of my reading this past week, I read of a church who had been offered the gift of a stained glass window for its building. A beautiful stained glass window, an expensive stained glass window. And the title of this window that this donor wanted to give to the church was Jesus the Shepherd. Can you guess what the picture in that window was? Of course, duh. Jesus portrayed as a shepherd. There are many, many pictures, millions of pictures, art, etc., stained glass windows that portray Jesus as a shepherd standing in the midst of a flock or maybe holding one sheep. I've seen dozens of them. There's one that I recall for some reason where Jesus has the lamb draped over his shoulders. You ever seen that one? All sorts of shepherd pictures, portrayals of Jesus as a shepherd. They're nice pictures. They're comforting pictures. They bring us a sense of safety and security because we identify and know these verses about Jesus as the shepherd, we as the sheep. And Jesus loves and cares for us, just like a shepherd loves and cares for his flock. But there was a problem with this church and this stained glass window, and the problem was exactly this. that they didn't want to think of themselves as sheep. It was offensive to them. And so they declined the window. The folk in this congregation, or at least the powers that be in that congregation, didn't want to think of themselves as sheep. They were uncomfortable with that. And, okay, let's face it. While sheep are nice animals, they give us wool, they give us meat, they give us lots of things, they're not the brightest of animals. Sometimes they wander off, they get their head stuck in the fence or in other places. They need a little extra care, a little extra tender care. And this congregation didn't like to think of themselves or want to think of themselves in that way. Our culture doesn't want us to think in that way. We're independent. We're strong. We are figuring things out, and we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We don't need anybody to take care of us. And I have to agree with this congregation on one point, that those shepherd pictures that we've all seen and that we all adore and love and find comfort in are a little bit too idealized, maybe a lot. They're a little bit syrupy and sweet. They're always so clean and neat. Jesus in his white robe and the sheep all neat and clean and the green pastures all very serene. But that's not the way it is in the real world of the shepherds, not in the world of the shepherds of Jesus' time. It was dirty, stinky, hot work. Shepherds were not put up on a pedestal, were not the top of the social structure. They were down at the bottom, kind of outcasts. Sheep aren't always clean and white and freshly shorn. Sometimes they get dirty and they get burrs stuck in their wool. That Jesus would refer to himself as the Good Shepherd would get the attention of the people he was talking to in this piece we shared this morning, because they would be surprised that he would refer to himself and compare himself with the lesser folk of society, those that were looked down upon as even unclean. But that is always what Jesus did. He identified with those down and out, with the outcasts of society, with those thought of as less than. So he drops this bombshell on them and says, "I am the Good Shepherd." And it gets their attention. And then he drops another one. He says to them, "There are other sheep that belong to me, and I must go to them too." You can almost hear the questions that are being thought about when Jesus announces this, can't you? Wait a minute. Other sheep? Really? Who are they? Where are they? What are they? We thought we were the chosen ones. We're the good sheep, not the sheep that you call out of the flock. What's the deal with these other sheep? And the question that I had was, why should that make any difference to me? If we stop and think about it, if we really stop and think about it, we are all other sheep. We all live in our own little centered universe, self-centered universe, and But we know that not everybody thinks like we do, or looks like we do, or acts like we do. We like to think that God loves us best, and God loves us, but God doesn't love anybody best. God loves everybody the same. But we do have things that draw us together, that connect us with one another. Our humanity, and the fact that God loves each and every one of us. And while we tend to sort the sheep by class and color and all those other categories that we create to separate one from another, Jesus doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. Think about it for a moment. Who are the other sheep to us? Who are the ones that we push to the side, push to the perimeter, ignore completely? Say are not welcome because you are other. God doesn't love you because you are an other. Sometimes we're bold enough to say that out loud. Sometimes we just think it, or sometimes we show that by the way that we act. But like it or not, those of us here this morning, those in that congregation that decided they didn't really want that window, those of us out in the world in every place and every time, like it or not, we are all sheep. Sometimes we do get lost. Sometimes we get our head stuck. Sometimes we don't smell so good. All of us are sheep. All of us are loved by God. All of us are loved by Jesus and shown that love by Jesus. All of us. No matter who we are, what we look like, how we act, the lifestyle that we live, and if we're honest with ourselves and aware of this, we know we need a shepherd. I was pointed out to me in study this week, and I never thought about this before, but you know, have you ever thought about this? That shepherds lead sheep. They don't drive sheep. It's not like cattle or hogs. Well, I don't know if you can even drive a hog or do anything with a hog once they make up their mind, okay? You can drive cattle. You can push them in a direction. But sheep do best when the shepherd leads them. When it walks out in front of them, the sheep will follow. That's the kind of shepherd that we need, all of us. And that's the kind of shepherd we have in Jesus. As he reminds us, there are other sheep that are part of his fold, of the same pen, not of a different pen. There's not any two pens or four pens or whatever categorized. One pen for all the sheep. Jesus leading in that direction has led us today to vote on this open and affirming covenant. You have a copy of it in your bulletin this morning. Let me read the first paragraph of that. We invite and welcome into our faith community persons of every gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression, ability, age, race, nationality, economic and social status, faith background, marital standing, and family structure. To me, that paragraph says, we welcome all the sheep. We love all the sheep. And sometimes we in the Church Universal haven't been very good at that. This statement is more than just a statement about gender issues. This is a statement about family status, family makeup, age, marital standing. I didn't think about that much. I was talking to Teresa Clark, who preached my or installation sermon, and she was telling me that when before she was married and she joined a church, some people said, they actually said, you know, we need to find you a husband, or acted on that. Some people just made it clear that since you are single, you aren't really part of the rest of us who aren't. We don't think about that. We don't do that consciously, but it does happen. This morning, as we consider this covenant, we make a bold statement to say no. No to those types of discrimination. Yes to the love that God offers to each and every one of us, that Jesus tells us and teaches us about, that Jesus leads us towards. To love the other, to welcome the other, to accept the other, not as an other, but as a brother or a sister. Loved by God, loved by us, loved by the church. Jonathan Sacks, who's the chief rabbi of Great Britain, says this. In the Hebrew Bible, it says once. Remember, that's the Old Testament. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Once. But it says in that same Hebrew Bible, you shall love the stranger, love the other, read that other, 36 times. That's a powerful statement on the importance of loving one another, of loving all. That is the church's job. And it's not something that we made up. William Sloan Coffin, who passed away several years ago, a well-known UCC minister, I have a book of his quotes on my desk, said this, human unity is really less something we are called on to create than to simply recognize and make manifest. That was Jesus' job. That was his ministry. To unite all of humankind under God's love. To leave no one out. That is the church's call today. To do that very same thing. To continue to do it. And to follow the one who leads us towards that. And Jesus loves all the sheep. So should we. So will we, each and every one of them. Amen.